Well, Merry Christmas, guys. How are you guys doing out there? Hope you are having a very Merry Christmas this morning. And hopefully it will be a Happy New Year for you. And just thank God for this day that we're having. Want to discuss the blast just, you know, a little while. I know that you guys are probably sitting around now, you've eaten your food, and seems like it's a good time to kind of come away and talk. Let's even pray. You know, prayer is always in order. Just asking that the Heavenly Father would help us in this time that we're in. Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, we invoke your presence, God, in this broadcast. We also invoke your presence, God, in our lives, so that, God, as we, God, carry on through this season that we're in, Lord, that this entire affair, God, will be brought under your control, and that, Lord, you will bring to us, God, bring justice and show us, God, who is the perpetrator of these particular horrible acts. Although, God, we think we know who they are, we pray, Father, that you would intercede in Jesus' name in every aspect. Bring the giants down, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And yeah, guys, it's a good day. It's a good day no matter what they do. It is still Christmas, right? It is still our celebration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know, like I said, there are a lot of people who do not celebrate Christmas. That's okay if you don't. But either way, it still doesn't forbid you from praying. If you are a believer, it doesn't forbid you from believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It just doesn't. And worshiping him on any day, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. So, you know, God bless you. Madri, hello, how are you doing? Thank you for showing up. And all the other people who will be showing up, God bless you. Wanted to talk to you guys about this thing here with the blast sparked FEMA and the Build Back Better program. And this is something that I just ran into, just kind of looking at the article right now, looking at it. And let me take you over to it so you can see it, get a good look at it for yourself. Here it is here, massive downtown Nashville explosion, human remains found in blast area, reward tops $30,000, $30,000. So they have a reward in place. Excuse me, they have a reward in place for people who are, you know, going to possibly even report the person who did it. And so this is what we're being told here. It says Nashville authorities believe an explosion that occurred in downtown Nashville early Christmas morning was an intentional act sparked by a vehicle blast. And they already have the vehicle. It says the police came across a suspicious RV parked outside the nearby AT&T building near 2nd Avenue and Commerce Street before 6 a.m. when initially responding to calls for shots fired in the area. So they came to, they were called out for shots fired in the area, and then they ran into a suspicious looking RV, said Metro Police spokesman Don Aaron. And it says there is no immediate evidence of any shooting. Okay, so they thought there was shots fired, but I guess when the police got out there, that there were no shots fired. You know, so that's pretty much what they're saying. But officers alerted the department's bomb squad, which was en route, when a significant explosion happened about 30 minutes later, Aaron said. How about that? So they were quick on this whole situation. before it happened, they're saying that they contacted the bomb squad 30 minutes before because they saw this suspicious looking RV. Isn't that something? And just before the blast, witnesses in the area reported a dire warning coming from the RV. And the RV said, evacuate now. Is it? Or who said that? There is a bomb. A bomb is in this vehicle and will explode. Then the voice started a 15-minute countdown. Wow. Isn't that something? That is amazing. Those are amazing details. I'm curious what do people in the chat have to say about this, because, you know, these are some very amazing details and quick-witted work from the police department. Can you imagine that they knew even before it even happened, 30 minutes before it happened, that the vehicle was suspicious, and that the police, you know, were called out for shots fired, but then after being called out for shots fired, they got called out for shots fired, and then they found out it was no shots fired, but they did see a suspicious looking RV, which just happened to give the people a 15-minute countdown to get out of the area because there was a bomb in the RV. Is that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. So I'm kind of curious what do you guys have to say. Mega Madrid. I just finished reading this story online. So you did too. And it says, in Nashville, so crazy. I am praying for the truth to come out. I'm praying that too, Mega. I am praying it too. And then Marlo. Hello, how are you doing? No words on it yet? Okay, well, what about you, Christopher? Merry Christmas to you, Chris. Yes, we got to keep the spirit alive, right? We are alive. We thank God that we're alive. And you know what? No matter what happens, the enemy cannot steal our salvation. He cannot steal our life, because our life is hid in Christ. And if you're born again, your life is hid in Christ, and you don't have to worry about anything. Let's see, Christopher Levins, this is something interesting. You say now they're going to put mandates on RVs. I never thought about that, because people are losing their houses, so they just can't have RVs going around being parked around different places, can they? So what does this mean, you, when you say problem, reaction, solution? Wink, wink. Wow, that's amazing. And let's see. Ray Asaki. Hi. You get bought the book, Graven Image, yesterday? Oh, praise the Lord. How about that? You bought my book, Graven Image, yesterday. You know, I was thinking about having Graven Image put into audio, you know, because, and it needs to be put to video, because we are actually seeing everything that I have been researching for years now, and it's all coming out into full fruition. So, you know, this is really wonderful. So thank you for purchasing my book. Yeah, but anyway, let's get back to Mega Madrid. You're saying, let me see what you're saying again. You said that we get the Fosse flaggy. You know, it's a strange thing. I would think tourists would be at home on Christmas morning, you know. Why Christmas morning of all things, you know? Christmas morning. Oh, my goodness. Shalom and Merry Christmas, yes, and, from Ohio. And that's Diane. Is that Deanna? Deanna Leslie. Hello. And God bless you, too. And Susan Casey. Hello. Merry Christmas. And then, let's see, Nicole Beard. I mean that in Nashville, there is a curfew, but we know why. Oh, my goodness. I never thought about it. There is a curfew in Nashville, so no one could actually be out on the street doing anything unless they had authority to be out there, right? I wouldn't think. Maybe the terrorists were risking their lives. Who knows? I don't know. I better get off this, but because, again, with the YouTube. But anyway, yeah, we shouldn't worry, you know, because God is good. God is good. And I want to hear what they have to say here, though. They do have something to say here on this other here. And in the story, they talk about it. They said that the bomb, the RV actually said, evacuate now. There is a bomb. A bomb is in this vehicle and will explode. Then the voice started a 15-minute countdown. Beep. Beep, beep, but by that time, they had already informed, from what I understand, the Nashville police had already noted 30 minutes before that the RV was suspicious looking in the area, and they had already called the bomb squad. Let's see. There was no immediate evidence of any shootings, but the officers alerted the department's bomb squad, which was en route when a significant explosion happened about 30 minutes later. So the bomb, maybe they're saying that the bomb squad was coming, but then by that time they got there, a significant explosion happened. Officers were conducting door-to-door checks, in the area, and redirected a man walking his dog along the streets. So a man was walking his dog, and he got redirected because the officers were going door-to-door checking. The force of the explosion knocked an officer to the ground and gave another officer what police hoped is a temporary hearing loss. Three people were hospitalized with injuries, police said. So it really wasn't, there was some human remains found, but it doesn't sound like there was a lot of people that were blown up. Aaron said it was unclear if anyone was inside the RV when it exploded, so they didn't find the human remains in there. It says human remains have been found in the area, although it is unclear whether they are those of the suspect or a victim, according to the information gathered by the AP. Wow, how about that? The Associated Press. So everyone is getting good information. They're getting this information out there. The Associated Press, the officers already knew because they had the suspicious RV in the area. And then they redirected this man who was walking his dog away from the RV. And the RV reported that it was going to blow up 15 minutes before it blew up. And they told everyone to get out of the area, but still, we still find human remains somewhere in the area. We will find out who did this. FBI special agents in charge, Matt Foster, said at a Friday afternoon news conference. We will find out who did this. This is our city, too. We're putting everything we have into finding who is responsible for this 9/11 tragedy. I mean, who is responsible for what happened today? 9/11. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's like 9/11. Okay. No, explosion contributes to 911 wireless service disruption. Oh, okay. So it wasn't, they have to use the 9/11. You know what? Did you ever think about this, that 9/11 is the same as 9/11? You know? Yeah, you guys are smarter than me. Y'all already figured it out. We will find out who did this. Nashville Mayor John Cooper Friday afternoon announced he has issued a state of civil emergency. There it is. State of emergency. State of civil emergency at the explosion site and surrounding the area. That will put in place a curfew starting at 4:30 p.m. until Sunday, 4:30 p.m. Wow. Wow. Did you guys hear that? You better get up out of Dodge, because think about that. If there's a national, civil emergency, the curfew must go into effect at 4:30 p.m. on Friday and make people stay in their house until 4:30 p.m. Or let me see. Curfew, you cannot go. Let me see, what are they saying? You have to be at home by 4:30. And Sunday, you have to be at home by 4:30. Saturday, you have to be at home by 4:30. And it says the area affected are bounded by James Robinson Parkway, 4th Avenue North, Broadway, and Cumberland River. So the area affected. I want to just say this too. I did hear the mayor, and the mayor made a statement. In this particular statement, the mayor said after that they were going to build back something like 46 businesses that had been blown up. I thought he said it's a bit about four.
Like Nashville has faced other challenges, resolved to rebuild, and not to be deterred, and to bring whoever was responsible for this to justice. Now, I've spoken with Governor Lee, who is working with us to have a declaration of a civil emergency, both with the state and then for FEMA to work with FEMA to bring all possible resources to commit to rebuilding Second Avenue, to go forward, not being deterred by this. And I'm grateful to our state and our federal partners to help this important part of Nashville rebuild and come back. There are 41 at least separate businesses that are materially damaged by this blast. There will be others.
Okay, so this is interesting. There were 41 businesses that were destroyed in the blast. And so it's an interesting time to be alive, because businesses are taking on casualties like never before. It's bad to be in business right about now, because to be in business, if you're in business, that means that you're in a dangerous place, unless you're an online business, or maybe you're in an Amazon, or maybe you're a Walmart or something like that, who can take a big hit like this. But if you're a small business, and that means you lost your livelihood. And so this happened in a business district. It certainly didn't happen at a Capitol building or the mayor's office or the police office or anything like that. This happened in the business district. Certainly, you know, someone was asking me about this whole thing, because they asked me, did I think that it was some, you know, move of some group, you know, patriots or something like that. And I just said, well, I didn't really see patriots doing that kind of thing. You know. But no, this was a blast. It was just a regular blast. Just like the Oklahoma bombing. took place, you know, in Oklahoma, but that was a government building. But this one here is important to understand that this building, these buildings represent 41 businesses. And it's amazing. And they say that they were going to get to the bottom of it and find out just who did it, you know. Like to say hello to Susan Casey. Hello. And you say send a boatload of money. They're asking, basically. Yeah, I agree. And then Stephanie Smith, hello. It says, were the businesses still open? Well, I don't know, Stephanie. I know that they've shut down a lot of businesses. So this would really seem to be, you know, unfortunate for the businesses that are already shut down. And if I imagine if you've already been shut down, then you have collateral damage with your business actually just being destroyed, demolished by some bomb that was in an RV, according to what they said. Wink, wink. That's what they said. It was in an RV. I don't know. And, yeah, well, Nicole, you saying that there could be a mass lockdown to come from this? I don't know, and I can't say, because, you know, obviously YouTube doesn't like you sharing your opinions too much. Let me stick to the facts of what they said here. Let's go back over here and take a look. Okay, so last we talked about, it says the explosion contributed to 9/11 wireless service disruption, and AT&T service in Nashville and Middle Texas was affected for many customers Friday, said the company's spokesman. Citing damage to facilities from explosions, the outage affected 9/11 access in several jurisdictions across the region throughout the day. And it says, we are in contact with law enforcement and working as quickly and safely as possible to restore service, Greer said. You know, this really kind of comes on the heels of the Great Reset, too, you know, the Great Reset. Because we've been told that, you know, well, it comes at the toe of the Great Reset at the very beginning. We've been told that the Great Reset means to build back better. I don't know. Guys, I can't say whether or not build back better means anything at all or has anything to do with this. But it does seem very convenient that, you know, they were wanting to build back better anyway, and now they have a good impetus for it. I'm just saying, I don't know. So it says flights into Nashville Airport were halted on Friday afternoon due to the telecommunications issue associated with the incident. And the airport said issues are expected to be resolved and service resumed by 3 p.m. So they know exactly when they're going to get this service back. And the Nashville Convention and Visitors Corporation announced Friday afternoon a $10,000 contribution towards a reward in this case. Well, I imagine you can offer $10,000 if you think you're going to retain it. Because I don't know anybody who would want to show up and say, you know, I did it. Or anybody who want to be caught. And at this level of a criminal activity like this, which by the way, guys, the majority of people are very peaceful. The majority of people are very, very peaceful. And generally, most people are so harmless that they will do whatever the government tells them to do anyway. Have you noticed how many people who walk around wearing masks? And even when the government says, wear the mask in your home, have you noticed? I've even noticed that people wear masks in their homes. And during the holiday, you might have had relatives who wore masks because the government told them, and they were just too afraid not to wear a mask at home. They were too afraid to walk around the streets without a mask. Yet, we're to believe that someone that was that courageous in our country, was that bold and courageous that they would actually park an RV somewhere and have some equipment in it that with loudspeakers that was able to inform the people around them that they were going to blow that RV up in 15 minutes and blow up all of those buildings. I don't know of anybody with that kind of expertise or that much nerve, because generally this is not the land of the brave. It's more like the land of the slave. So I don't know of anybody that bold to actually blow something up. Maybe you guys do. There might be some people out there who know. But generally, I found most people, and I will tell you this, most Americans that I've run into are very nice and cordial people who open doors for you and wait on you and different kind of things. There are some jerks out there who blow their horn at you while you're sitting too long at a stop sign. But that's because we're fiddling around with our phone. But generally, I would think the average person would not do this, because the average person is out of work anyway. So anyway, I don't know. They don't have that kind of money to put into just getting some RV and blowing it up. How much does an RV cost? How much does it cost to even have an RV? Last I checked, some of those RVs can run up into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So whoever it was must have had some pretty deep pockets, because an RV costs quite a bit of money. Oh, I'm just thinking. But as I think about this, I think about all of the possibilities of who it could be, and then, well, for me, I rule out the average person, because the average person is too afraid not to even wear a mask when they walk in the store, right? So maybe it's somebody who's a super villain, just a really bad criminal who would be bold enough to rob people and maybe shoot people for real, a bank robber or something like that. But if he was a bank robber or somebody who was desperate for cash and probably would take your car, your money, and your life, would that kind of person actually be interested in doing something like destroying over $150,000 piece of property like an RV just for that, just for the sake of it? Because generally people rob people because they don't have money. So let's go number three. It has to be somebody with money, with enough money to be able to buy an RV and also be able to have enough explosives and those kinds of things. And that kind of stuff is kind of hard to come by, because when you buy explosives, that automatically triggers a trace from you from the FBI to you, because generally you can't get those kinds of materials. Buying bomb materials, anybody would know that if you're gonna buy bomb materials that was large enough to blow up 41 buildings, that would automatically have triggered a notification of the FBI that something funny was going on, and then you possibly even have a home visit. with you having all of these kinds of things, I'm sure, because we are under lockdown. Not only that, yeah, we're under lockdown and we're under suspicion by our own government. And so we have all of these alphabet agencies that would just come right to your house and find out. Firearm, tobacco agency, the FBI agency, the FEMA agency, the Homeland Security, Google would come to your house because they know what you're going to buy. Amazon would be involved because you can't get supplies unless you buy it from a big wholesaler like Amazon, a big place like that. I'm just trying to guess, guys. You know, it's kind of interesting to me. Anyway, let me get on back to this anyway. So the RV blew up. It was a chilling warning coming from the RV, and the bomb, it says bomb in the vehicle. Fair warning. Betsy Williams, the owner of the Melting Pot building across the street, told the Tennesseans that guests reported that the RV was stationed there since Thursday night. How about that? And William, whose lives in the loft apartments on the third floor, she said she heard the sound of loud, rapid fire gunshots at about 4:30 a.m. After multiple rounds of gunshot sound, it says William said she called 911, then said she heard the repeated warning. She came from the RV parked outside the building. She recalled hearing the announcement warning of a bomb and to evacuate. Then it started the countdown and to the explosion, and she said. And she said, William says she and her spouse and family left the loft in their pajamas, and she took her cat, Mavis. Oh, the cat has a name, Mavis. How about that? But left her valuables behind. They headed to the Nissan Stadium and waited there until the bomb went off. And when they didn't hear an explosion, they headed back. They were at 2nd Avenue and Broadway when they saw a fireball fly over the AT&T building on 2nd Avenue. And whoever did it did give fair warning, William said. Whoever did it did give fair warning. How about that? They say the person was fair. They gave him fair warning. Get out. And whoever did it gave us fair warning. And she saw the window in her loft had been blown out and her Christmas tree was still on inside. Aaron confirmed investigators believe the recording heard by the witness originated from the vehicle. So they think it. They heard a some sort of, you know, like they believe the investigators that the recording. So they called it a recording. They think, in other words, they know for sure it was a recording. It was not live broadcast. That's interesting. Maybe I need to give this to the detectives because, you know, the detectives might need these kind of clues. It was a recording, the woman said. It was not a live broadcast, and she heard by witnesses originated from the vehicle. So witnesses say that they heard it originate from the vehicle. Just to make sure that you know what the story is. Now, if they were making this story up, it could be that the witness that the person who was telling the story could be the perpetrator. Wouldn't that be something that's like in the movies, right? But I doubt it. But, you know, maybe, I don't know. How does she get so much information? And this, she also has a cat named Betsy Williams. Fair warning. And she has a cat named Mavis. And she was in the apartment and she overheard it. And when she got out, she left with her husband. And I think she said, right, with her husband. And she went to the Nissan Stadium and waited. And so when she didn't hear it, then she walked back. Now, she was leaving the going to the Nissan Stadium, but in another report, in the early report, they say that some of the police were actually harmed by the explosion, because they say one of the police suffered hearing loss. Did you hear that? Remember that? One of the police suffered hearing loss, yet Betsy didn't suffer hearing loss. Betsy didn't. She saw the whole thing in her pajamas while she was down there at the stadium. But when she started back, even though she started back, apparently she didn't get close enough to suffer hearing loss, and neither did Mavis, the cat. She took her cat, Mavis, but left behind her valuables. And so, let's see. She saw the windows to her loft had been blown out. So she lived in a loft. She lived in a loft. And she lived in a loft with her family. She called 911. She recalled the bomb, then evacuated and started to calm down. When it started to calm down, she said her spouse and her family left the loft. So she had her husband, but her husband never said anything. So they only interviewed Betsy, who has a cat named Mavis. But we don't know what the husband's name is, and we don't know anything about the children. Now, maybe the husband just didn't want to be identified. Maybe the husband just didn't want to be identified. Or did I mention the husband's name? I don't know if I even mentioned his name. Aaron confirmed investigators believe the recording. Now, this was a recording heard by the witness originated. They believe that it originated. They heard, Aaron confirmed investigators believe the recording. They even believe it was recorded. So they assume, number one, there was a recording. They assume, number two, that it came from the vehicle. And they say that it came from the RV, and it was the RV that actually exploded. So Michael Smalley, executive vice president of Cruise America and the national largest RV rental firm, told the Tennesseans that due to the age of the RV, it is unlikely it was rented out by a company. So let's see, the RV was old. But the national largest rental firm told the Tennesseans that due to the age of the RV, it's unlikely that it was rented out by a company. Now, why would a person rent an RV to blow it up? Because you're going to leave a track record of your credit card information and all of your other information, that they're going to do due diligence to get this information right away. Why would a person leave their RV? I don't know. The age of the vehicle could be a giveaway for law enforcement tracing its owner, he said, since not many like that are rolling around, calling it conspicuous. Wow. You know, I would think that they would know immediately who the RV's owner was, because they were able to look up the license plate, because it said that it was a suspicious vehicle in the area. And if you saw a suspicious vehicle in the area, wouldn't you just use the license plate to determine who the owner was? I don't know. This is a strange story. Maybe it's the person who's writing the story. It just doesn't seem to hold together very well, but I know it's just gotta be the writer. Let me just find out who the writer is. Yeah, it's all the way down here. A developing story. It's a developing story. Yeah, it's kind of half-baked. Let's see. The age of the vehicle is a dead giveaway for law enforcement tracing its owner, because they definitely could not use the license plates. It's got to be the age of the vehicle. I'm kind of shocked and stunned that a vehicle like this was used in a crime of this nature, he said. He believed, based on the photos shared publicly by the MNPD, that the RV is at least 10 years old, and the age makes it more easily traceable, he said. How about that? Boy, these are some crackerjack crew that's working on this case, man. Oh, boy. You guys had enough of this baloney yet? No, I didn't mean baloney. YouTube, I'm sorry. You had enough of it. Build it. You said problem, reaction, solution. Oh my goodness. Oh boy. Wait. Let me see. Susan, you saying waiting to sound our FBI saying the cat Mavis planned it. Yeah. The cat Mavis planned it. How about that? let me see here. Susan, you said found out. Okay, mainstream media is like Hollywood. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say that. Order out of chaos. Guys, I don't know. We have to really ask our God for blessed consolation during these crazy times. These are some crazy, crazy, crazy times. These are very crazy times.
Hey, you're here.
Let me see. Let's get over here. Let's see. Knowing this. Let's see. All right, let's see, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, that we're going to be, we're basically going to have a situation in this world where it says that evil men will continue to get worse. That's what's going to happen. Extra large. Let's see if we can get it extra large. Can we get it any larger here? Anyway, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what's going on. Guys, evil men are deceiving and being deceived. He says that we've talked about it, and that perilous times will come. But evil men will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So we are living in these days. Another translation being imposters. Let's see. Let's look at some of these just for fun. Just for fun here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Let's see here. Unscrupulous con men. Oh my goodness. How about that? This is for the Message Bible. You've been a good apprentice to me and part of my teaching, my manner of life and direction, faith and steadiness, love, patience, trouble, and suffering. Suffering along with me in all my grief, I had to put up with Antioch, that's how I'm trying to get it out, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And you also know that God rescued me. Anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. That's what Paul is saying. There's no getting around it. And listen to this. Unscrupulous con men will continue to exploit the faith, and they're as deceived as people they lead astray. As long as they are out there, things can only get worse. So Paul dealt with the same kind of con men that we're dealing with today. And the Bible says that in the last days, again, we are in the last days, that perilous times will come, right? And evil men will wax, will get worse and worse and worse. And so that's where we are now. We are in the time of evil men. It's amazing the times we live in right now, right? Did God know all of this was going to happen ahead of time, you think? Let's see. What did he say? Know this, for in the last days shall come dangerous times. This is coming from the another version here, American edition. Dangerous times. We are living in dangerous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Let's see if I can get myself out of the way over here. Okay. All right. Okay, there. Stay over there. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, haughty, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and wicked. Wicked. I can't think of anything more wicked than just blowing up some place there, right? We don't know who did it, but, you know, I can't think of nothing more wicked than blowing up 41 businesses. A business district. It's the cat with mommy running down the street, right? Without affection, without peace, slanderous, without peace. Why don't they want peace? Peace on earth and goodwill of men. Slandered, incontinent, unmerciful, and without kindness. Traitors. Traitors. How about that? Let me put a green stamp on that one there. Yeah, that'd be traitors. Stubborn, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having the appearance indeed of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it says, now these we need to avoid. And it just continues on. It just says, you know, that evil men will, and seducers shall grow worse and worse, erring and driving into error, leading into error. So in the last days, these are the things that we need to expect. But even though we need to expect these things, we need to understand that God has already seen that it was going to happen, and he has a plan to get us out of this situation. And the plan is Jesus Christ. The plan is Jesus Christ and salvation. If you know Jesus Christ and are saved, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the light. No man comes to the Father except through me. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he will. He will bring justice. He will bring correction. He will improve our lives. And that's what we need. We need God right now, guys. Now, what is this? This is a war on God. This is what it's all about, guys. I can't make it any plainer. If it hasn't become quite obvious that the group that is perpetrating all of these different things that are happening right now are after the God in you, and particularly the Jesus Christ in you. Because, I mean, no other place was shut down like the church was. You know, no other attack has been so great like the attack on the church. You know, as a matter of fact, I was just reading an article just the other day, and they were talking about Chick-fil-A. And somebody just got so angry about Chick-fil-A being part of Amazon's charity list, you know, like to give to, I think it was Chick-fil-A was, there was some kind of way that they were involved with Amazon when it came down to charity or something like that. Oh yeah, I think it was this. It was a Focus on the Family, and Chick-fil-A was running also a charitable organization, and they were using Amazon to be part of it. Either way, they didn't, whoever these people were, they did not want Chick-fil-A to be part of that. And they definitely didn't want to give money to Focus on the Family or any other Christian organization. You can give money to any other particular organization. Just make sure that you don't do it for Christians. So, you know, never has there been a time when we're really starting to see what this is really about. But we have, we still have our faith in Jesus Christ, right? And if as long as you have your faith in Jesus Christ, it will be all right. Because, you know, the world can be against you, but with God for you, who can be against you, you know? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, you know, have faith. Well, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Just wanted to kind of share with you some of these things that were going on. I pray that you guys continue to have joy, because joy right here in the midst of sorrow, joy in the midst of tragedy, really confuses the enemy. And real joy, because the joy that we have, the world didn't give it to us, right? The world didn't give it to us. We have it because we believe the gospel. We know the end. We know in the end, Christ wins, right? So let's put our faith.